hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meals. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh shrubs. Call me privately.
Welcome to episode 81 of the Permaculture Pimpcast. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and punks today. We'll get into that later. How you doing, son?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, but hey, folks, just be warned right off, this may not be one for the kids, and you definitely don't want to play this one at work. I mean, it's not going to be any profanity.
Well, but a little bit.
No, I mean, we're going to play a clip. Later on, and it's going to be relevant to what we're going to talk about, but we'll get into that in a little while later. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also brought to you by Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And believe me, y'all, they got that $100 bucket over there. You might want to check it out. We're trying out the seeds right now. It's probably going to look pretty darn good with what happens with those. So far, I've been very, very impressed with them and very, very impressed with their professionalism. In fact, I'm hoping to get somebody from Heaven's Harvest to come on the show and talk about current events, because I know, I mean, especially in light of the things going on in the world right now where OPEC basically cut more fuel. I think it's a million barrels a day. Okay. So what's that going to do to the food prices? It's only going to go high. I know they do it in, they do it before every summer anyway, just to drive the prices up anyway. But it is extremely consequential with what's going on right now. So, look, y'all, stay alert, stay alive is definitely the tagline of this show for a reason. And Heaven's Harvest can help you go a long way in doing a lot of that stuff. All right. Don't forget to tip a pimp over on the Fountain app, where you can listen to all your other podcasts over there, especially the Permaculture Pimpcast. And at the same time, if you'd like, you can tip us in derivations of Bitcoin called Satoshi. I think I got it right this time.
I thought it was Satoshi.
Close enough.
It's one or the other.
We're going to call it neither. Close enough. Hey, it's not a whole Bitcoin, but we'll call it close enough, which is probably going to be pretty valuable in the coming days. All right, y'all, we're not going to mess around. Tip of the day right off the bat. Some trips are more than worth the expense. This last weekend, Michelle and I went down to a festival. It was Keeper of the Old Ways. Never been to this one before, and they invited me a while back, and it was a joy to be there. I mean, an absolute joy to be there. I truly wish, and I'm so sorry I didn't promote this thing beforehand. I don't know how, but it totally slipped under the radar, and I don't know why I didn't mention it before, so I know a lot of people missed out, but David the Good was there. He's a good friend. And there were so many awesome other people there. But let me tell you why I'm saying it's worth the expense sometimes. Here's what I'm getting at, y'all. When you go to these things, these festivals, you sometimes think, man, you know, that's going to cost a lot of money. So I'm going to tell you why it was worth it right off the bat. Because honestly, I met a lot of awesome people there. I mean, awesome, awesome people. But I never get this right. Is Flomaton famous? They're a YouTube channel. And he's a retired Navy guy, and he and his wife are fantastic. Your mom and her hit it off. All of us hit it off together. I mean, really awesome. And they travel around, you know, one of those teardrop campers that he built, also a matching canoe with it.
Oh, wow.
And here's what I'm getting at. They were teaching a grafting class, which we know how to do quite well. But I'll tell you what, if for no other reason, and this is one of two reasons I'm going to provide. If for no other reason, the trip was worth it to see the way that he does his grafting. Because, and then if for no other reason, where he uses different knives to make how he fits the scion into the rootstock, that alone was worth the trip, because the way he does it is so much more efficient than the way I was doing it. And it's a better, tighter bind. So, folks, you want to check them out if you can. Because, like I said, if for no other reason than going on this trip, because you incur expenses when you do that sort of thing, if for no other reason, it was worth it just to learn that new method.
What was the name of the channel again, his channel?
Flomaton, and everybody wants to call it Flomation. It's Flomaton, Flomaton, famous. I guess that's the name of the town. but they're doing some really awesome stuff when it comes to orcharding and stuff like that. Huh. You know, we have different methods and techniques and all that good stuff, but that's the cool thing about going to something like this. And then you learn something else, like David the Good, you know, we're friends. And then I'm listening to him talk and I'm like, oh shoot, man, I got to get out of here. He's saying the same thing in his class and I'm thinking, oh shoot, what am I going to say now? Because he's covering a lot of the good stuff there. And, you know, as well as I do that when you're around David, you're always going to
be laughing.
You're going to be laughing yeah. because he has got one of the cleverest wits you're ever going to see. And also he drops tons and tons of really good wisdom, things that maybe you didn't think about before, but also Perry Hill Farms, man, I'll tell you what, man. Okay. You mentioned something a little while ago. Now it was Eric, Danette and Denise yeah. also. And, Jace. And I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of Jace's wife. Eric, Danette, and Denise. What did you say when I told you their names?
Well, I heard them, and then, like, no wonder their farm works so well, because they never have arguments, because they never know who's mad at who. It's Eric, Danette, and Denise. You're getting those mixed up all the time.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, okay, which one? I mean, you can yeah. always blame each other, dude. I mean, how cool is that? But, man, they invited us out to their place. We got a video of both farms I'm going to mention right now. Probably going to come out one of them tomorrow, maybe one the other next day. Man, it was a real joy to go to their place. We had some barbecue there, and they're doing something really cool when it comes to pigs, man. They're taking, you know, a lard pig and putting them with a meat pig, and they're doing a good job of it. The real claim to fame and the real reason I think people ought to check them out is they are the only people I know of. I'm sure there's others out there. I just don't know who they are. That are actually have multiple families, and I mean they're all related some way or another, but they've been doing this for 20 years and they've made this work, and they are growing enormous amounts of food. This coleslaw, man, knocked me out. And then of course the barbecue was great. I got to eat one of those breast chickens.
Those big ones. Yeah, those yeah. breasties.
Yeah, they got them up there and or down there rather. And they hooked me up with a friend of theirs that I'm going to link up with, hopefully have him on the show, because he's raising these guys now, and he can talk about a lot of their virtues. I was thinking it was just one of the latest fad chickens, and, you know, do we want to get mixed up in something like that? But I'll tell you what, after, you know, this is 1, 2, 3 people in the last month that have had really awesome things to say about them. And I'll tell you what, judging by the taste I had there, man, I like how he had a little bite to it. But, man, you talk about Southern hospitality, man. It was such a joy to hang out with them and everybody else. So, folks, go check them out. You're going to be glad you did.
And what's the name of it again?
Theirs is Perry Hill Farms. But yeah. I told them the next day when we left their place, because, honestly, they have a really good gift of comedy and everything else. And it's just, you could tell it's a genuine love that they have for one another out there. And I was like, man, y'all don't have any idea. I want to get them on the show as well, because one of the biggest questions we get asked is, how do we make this work with other people?
Yeah.
And I can't truly answer that, because every collaboration we've ever tried to do, it has never worked out. And these guys have cracked that nut. So I'm thinking, man, we're going to have them on the show, and hopefully they start their own podcast, because I think they'd be really, really good at it. All right, we're going to jump straight into the farm news. And right off the bat, y'all sitting right here yeah. on this table, if you're not watching, I wish you were. B&B Machine right here made this ballin' coaster.
Well, you'll actually see some footage on it if you go to the YouTube channel. I'll get some close-up footage and put it in the video.
Okay, so yeah. I can hold it up here and you can see it. So if you're watching it on YouTube, you're probably getting blinded right now. I got it. Basically, they put our logo right in the middle of this thing. And on the back of it, of course, it says B&B Machine.
Can they machine us some pip cast chains? blind all the viewers.
No, when I was thinking, turn this, put a chain on this thing, do it like a clock, like, who's that one?
Flavor Flav.
Yeah.
We need to get it to spin.
Oh, so man.
You got a spinning chain.
Yeah, that'd be quite the engineering feat. But, man, when they sent these coasters, man, I was floored. I was like, man, that is about the coolest thing. Got our logo and everything on it, man. That is so awesome. So, look, if you need any machine work, y'all, go check those young men out. They are doing some awesome things.
That is cool.
And I think everybody's got to salute the fact that, you know, in this world where everybody feels like they just need to follow the footsteps of, you know, of what the high school teachers and all the others are saying, go to college, do this, get a bunch of debt. These kids straight out of the gates, man, they're off and running. They got their own business. and they're off and running doing real good stuff. So I can't wait to talk to them in the future and see exactly how they're doing.
Yeah.
So, hey, so check it out. I'm wearing a ball cap. You don't ever hardly see me with one of these on. If I do, it's usually tags from Life Done Free where it says free man on it. But this one here, what's it say, son?
Big Ivy Guns.
Bam, I did a little shopping today.
And you can too.
Yes. So go. And in fact, in light of everything that's going on right now, that may be a good, okay. Maybe you may not trust the U.S. dollar so much these days. Maybe you might want to think about some other ways in which you may store value. And some of it might very well be firearms.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, went over there to the local gun shop. Lead
packets.
Yeah, there you go. Went over to the local gun shop and we did our concealed carry over there. And they were really great people, really nice. And they got a good price on everything. And plus, you're supporting those local people. So if you're in Western North Carolina, anywhere along the way, well, stop by.
Even if you're not, you can still do your shopping online and get it shipped to your local gun store.
Yeah, I'm about to go by there tomorrow and go have some stuff shipped out here. We won't talk about what that is.
Yeah, Big Ivy Guns.
Mm-hmm.
Dad's taking a drink, right?
Yeah, which you're supposed to like fill in the gaps. Sorry, huh?
I said that and then it was quick.
All right, so more of that farm news. Did a little bit of shopping right off the bat, man. I was so happy with those coasters, man. That's the coolest thing.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah, how many steel coasters you got, man?
That's aluminum, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
that's aluminum.
Yeah. Yeah, these days, man, I can't even imagine what the scrap goes for these days. But
I don't know what this is. Yeah, I think it's aluminum. It's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it is. So as far as farm news, man, you were basically looking after things when we were gone. How did that go?
Went well. I mean, everything, like I said in the video, part of it is to kind of test the, like how efficient your farm is running and stuff like that. I didn't really find any glaring inefficiencies. I mean, feeding the dogs is simple. Like mom, okay, I was only half joking in the video where mom overcomplicates things. When it comes to like animals that need specific care or something like that, she will make it complicated, but she'll kind of run away with it unless one of us notices it and titrates her back.
No, it can't be one of us. If you notice, if I say something, she'll just blow it off. If you say something, then she might give it some consideration.
Well, okay. Well, either way, she'll run away with it until something is said.
I mean, there'll be 50 ingredients up in that stuff, y'all, before you know it.
Yeah.
So,
but that's only part of it. Like, I mean, the bull's gone. That's the biggest, that was the biggest thing, I think, or the biggest issue. It would have been, the only thing that would have been potentially an issue was if I had to move the rams by myself.
Well,
wouldn't have been an issue. It would have just taken a long time.
Well, you know, as far as one of the glaring things I notice, sometimes when you leave and you come back, you notice things. And I'm realizing the laying flock, which right now is chasing the sheep, I think we're about 10 heavy. I think we're about 10 heavy. They're creating, you want a little bit of disturbance, not this much disturbance.
Well, those big birds also move a lot of ground.
They do, and they're really helpful in a system like the chicken tractor on steroids. But in this environment right now where we're trying to rebuild these pastures, they're creating way too much disturbance, and that's starting to be a problem. So of the 35 we got in the laying flock, I think we're going to take them back 10 or so. So we're going to be doing a little processing, I think, here before long.
Yeah, and we have some problem birds that need to go anyway.
Yeah, there's a couple of Australorp crosses, but you don't want to get rid of all your blackbirds in there because they go a long way because the birds of prey seem to think that they're crows.
You might want to after this episode.
Yeah, well, there's one of them for sure. I mean, we got a taller. Okay, so we had a 42-inch fence, and even though we clipped their wings, there were a few of them flying out of there. Now that we got a 48-inch fence, and when I say fence, I'm talking like a mobile chicken netting.
Yeah.
And we got the bigger fence. All of them are staying in except for this one, this black one. Somehow it got out yesterday. It didn't get out today, but that's definitely one that's going to the cook pot. So, folks, you can't be so in love if you're trying to rebuild some of these things. The point I'm making here is, look, I love you dearly. But if at the end of the day, there's a point where those animals can be a problem. You want them to go by and, like Joel Salatin says, you want them to massage the landscape. But when the disturbance is to the point where they're digging up and you're down to bare soil in too many places, that is a problem. So that tells me that I got to scale back the number of birds I have in this system. And so you got to make those adjustments so you can't fall in love with your stock because it is a business. And if, unless you want a petting zoo and unless you want jacked up pastures, you got to make adjustments.
Also, the like the 42-inch fence might work for some people if they're on flat ground. It doesn't work for us because the chickens can go, since we're on such a steep slope, they can go higher in the landscape and jump down even if their wings are clipped and still get out. Yeah. I mean, they still have that ability.
Yeah,
so we had to go flat with the higher one. Yeah,
yeah, so we, it's not on flat ground by any stretch. Yeah, because of the nature of our topography, I'm glad you mentioned that, they can still find a way to get out. But so far today, it didn't happen. Yeah. But either way, the bigger problem is, whether they're getting out or not, the bigger problem is they are creating entirely too much disturbance in an area where we are trying to recover the soil.
Yeah.
So as sooner rather than later, we're definitely going to have to, I think, process at least 10 birds. So like you said, yeah. 10 of the problem children, sayonara.
Dang. I just realized we're having the opposite problem of the rest of the world right now. We have too many chickens.
Yeah. Well,
that is an interesting, so permaculture works, y'all.
Well, you know, it's been that way all the way around. Son, we gave away 3 pigs this year. We gave away 2 last year. I mean, yeah, I mean, we're not losing any money in the process. So we're able to help a lot of folks out. And like you said, it does work.
Yeah.
But your management has got to be on point. And if you fall in love with these chickens and you got all these birds and they're creating way too much disturbance like these guys are, then you're going to have to cull, or you're going to have to separate, or you're going to have to make, you just can't keep all, I think we got 35 birds over in that section there.
Yeah.
And
something like that.
Yeah. And I was thinking about trading them out. I was thinking about getting some of those breasts and, you know, basically trading out this entire flock, man. I mean, based on number one, the meat, number two, they're not going to jump out of that fence.
Or keep the flock that we have a stationary compost making flock and turn those breasts into the ones following those sheep.
Could be. I mean, we're gonna have to weigh this out and really kind of think it out. But for the most part, folks, the lesson to take away here is you want to massage. You don't want them digging divots out there in the doggone landscape, especially in a place where I'm trying to recover this very denuded ground.
They don't need 35 dust baths.
No. And it's just, they're becoming way too disruptive. So yeah, just, I mean, I'm saying this out there so you know that sometimes you got to scale up, sometimes you got to scale back. And right now we can scale back. And the cool thing is at any given time, we can always up the flock.
Yeah. And just hatch more.
We can just hatch out some. And plus we had a couple of broody ones in there a while back. So what other farm news we got, son?
I think that's basically it. I mean, we got that. Yeah, I think that's it. That's
all right, y'all.
Not much has happened with y'all gone, just kind of maintaining everything right now.
Well, I'm going to tell y'all right now, y'all, this is going to be one of those controversial episodes, but I feel the need to do it based on what happened this weekend. And we're going to go to Pastor Lon, and when we get back, we're going to talk a little tongue-tied. We're going to get into the bad news, good news section.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I wanted to share with you just a minute about the poison of sloth. You see, Webster defines sloth as sluggishness, laziness, and idleness. And the Bible says in Proverbs 21 and 25, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. A slothful person is like a piece of driftwood that's floating effortlessly and heedlessly downstream with the current. It takes no effort, no strength to be lost. A drifting boat always drifts downstream, never upstream. Likewise, a drifting, slothful soul is continually moving toward an eternity of destruction. The sin of doing nothing is just as dangerous as the sin of action. You don't have to do anything to be lost. I pray you don't let this happen to you.
Well, amen to that, Pastor Lon. I mean, all the things out there that I dislike the most, I detest. Absolutely. I mean, there's lots of sins out there, but I'll tell you what, the one that gets on my nerve the most, I can't stand laziness. I can't stand a slothful person. And, you know, it's actually, to some extent, probably going to tie into what we're talking about today. So hang in there. So speaking of Pastor Lon, man, y'all go check out his YouTube. I'm telling you, go sign up. And I don't know of two people that do more with their time than Pastor Lon and Miss Robbie.
Yeah. No,
I mean,
kidding.
And now they're over there kicking up the rotational grazing. They're knocking it out of the park in so many different ways. And honestly, they're some of the most selfless people you're ever going to find.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is a man that works a full-time job. I mean, I've told you before. In fact, I got to get him back on the show and talk about a great many things. But being a pastor is a thankless job. It is a thankless job. And still, all the time, he's texting, you know, giving awesome words of encouragement and stuff like that. Man, I just wish they lived down the road so much, man. I really do. Extraordinary people. I hope to catch them at the next festival coming up. And maybe we can talk Miss Robbie into going. Especially since your mom's going, if she goes. So, I mean, it's, you know, one, I guess not one without the other. We'll see how it goes. All right, y'all, before we get into bad news, good news, remember, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Folks, I mean.
It makes sense right now.
Man, I don't even know what to say. I mean, right now, I mean, people were saying, well, if it happens, you know what good's. Well, look, I just needed to get me home.
Yeah.
The one for the vehicle. I'm not trying to go shopping after something jumps off. I mean, you have this as insurance. That's the only reason I have it. So if you need one, check it out. Use promo code PERMA. You'll get $50 off. Not going to try to talk anybody. So the truth of it is, I am sick and tired of trying to convince people about certain things. I mean, some people want to jump down my back for, you know, some of the advertisements I do. Look, don't buy it. Don't listen. I don't care. If you want one, it's there. I got one on everything. I reached out to them because I know they have the best as a journeyman electrician for a very long time. I know they got the best there is that you can buy. The places in the car plants and the other places I've installed these things, you know, nobody had anything like it. So with that said, we're going to jump right into the bad news. Check this out, y'all. It's going to require a little mobilization of all of us. Attorney Tom Renz, who's doing a lot of awesome stuff, litigation regarding this whole COVID jab thing. He made everybody aware a couple of days ago about the mRNA vaccines that they're finding, or they are trying to put in the food without disclosure. And right now, House Bill 1139 in Missouri will require disclosure. Now, the biggest thing, that the unbelievable thing in all this, son, is that the number one people opposed to this bill, which is basically saying you have got to disclose it, are the people that are the lobbyists that are working on behalf of farmers.
Yeah.
Particularly the egg industry. And then they're wanting to put this stuff into cows, chickens, you name it, pigs, you name it. And of course, it's all big ag. It's not little farmers like us or the people listening right now. And the trade organizations who should be doing what's in the best interest of these farmers. Because like Tom Renz said, look, I would rather, like he said, I would rather sue Monsanto. But if these farmers do this, I am going to sue them personally.
Yeah.
And I hope he does.
And then also you'll notice the people supporting this were also the ones fighting or in support of the ability or like the mandatory labeling of GMO goods and stuff like that. That's the people that are in support of this bill are the ones that were fighting against GMO labels.
I don't get it. I don't understand. But look, y'all, if you know anybody in Missouri, let them know about this. House Bill 1169. There's a lot of nasty stuff going through the legislatures all over the place. And Missouri is one of those very free places for the most part. And there is like no part of this where they are not going to try and infect you. I can't even believe the trade organizations. Actually, yes, I can, because they're all working probably at the behest of people like Bill Gates and, you know, the ilk like him. All right, so we'll get into the good news, y'all. Remember, if you know anybody out there, there's the information for it. Tell them to reach out to their state and local senators in Missouri. I got it right that time. It ain't Missouri, it's Missouri. Like Clint Eastwood said in the Outlaw Josie Wales.
Yeah, there's an I at the end of that letter.
We got something called the Missouri boat ride. Yeah. All right, check this out, y'all. Silent protest. So some people are fighting back. This is good news in my book. NHL may cancel Pride nights after players refuse to wear rainbow jerseys to try to tag them as trans advocates.
Trying to get a bunch of hockey players.
Toothless hockey players out there in rainbow garb. I guess, okay, well, you probably get the NBA to do it. You could probably get the, you know. I don't know. Whenever there's a lot of money online for athletes and stuff, you know, there's probably, I guess NHL said, man, we got to call him. Man, we got to, no, ain't happening. So that's a good thing. At least somebody's fighting back. For the most part, there's a lot of other nasty stuff going on right now. I just know I'm not looking forward to what's likely to happen. I'm not looking forward to a crash or anything like it. I just know that we have hit a level of depravity that only starvation can cure. Sadly, that is the level of depravity we've hit. All right, more good news. This is going to be some of the esoteric news because a lot of people got with me and said they like this sort of thing. So check it out. The Euphrates River is drying up. Of course, very ancient river. And guess what they're finding, son? Like the tomb of King Gilgamesh.
Oh, wow.
Like the Epic of Gilgamesh. Well, and if you come from where we come from, are you aware of what Gilgamesh almost certainly was?
You definitely Nephilim, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if he was Nephilim and they found his tomb because they're finding all of these archaeological sites along the river. Well, see, this is weird because I was told, and I wasn't personally told, I had heard that one of the reasons we invaded Iraq the last time, because once there was boots on the ground in Iraq, believe it or not, y'all, look into it. One of the first places we hit was the Museum of Antiquities in Iraq. And supposedly they pulled out Nephilim bones out of there. Some people say they're extracting DNA. I'm not sure.
Wasn't it the Spear of Destiny, too, that they were getting?
Some people thought that, and some people thought they got it from Hitler in World War II. There's a whole lot of different, you know, things. Yeah. They could have been taken out of there, but it sure is funny. And you ought to hear Tom Horn from Skywatch TV. You ought to hear him talk about the video he saw of what they did when they went in there and what they pulled out of these museums of antiquity. But here's why it's good news, is that all these other archaeological sites alongside there, like the oldest inhabited site we know of is Göbekli Tepe in Turkey.
Yeah.
And supposedly, they're thinking that alongside this Euphrates River, they're going to likely find a lot more. I can't help but wonder if that's going to be the case. So in my book, I don't necessarily think it's good news that they found a Nephilim a Nephilim hideout.
Yeah, make sure that head's off.
Yeah. Well, judging by some of the pictures in there, who even knows? But I am always excited when they find new discoveries and stuff. And you got to always remember, too, that if it's officially told to you that there's probably a fair amount of lies and...
It also makes you wonder, like, how do they know that that's Gilgamesh, the tomb of Gilgamesh?
Yeah, I mean, how many people are reading Sanskrit or whatever it was written in, you know?
Yeah.
Or some sort of Mesopotamian script. But, you know, it's supposedly from certain legends is that he was buried at a tomb in the Euphrates. So apparently some of the old scripts have said that. So they pulled this out of there. I sent it over to Joel Thomas from Kill the Mockingbirds. Yeah. And of course, Joel already knew about all this stuff. I mean, that is kind of in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So anyway, y'all, that's the good news, bad news section. When we come back, we're going to get, hey, you might want to make sure you don't have the kids and don't be listening to this one at work. All right, welcome back. All right, y'all. Just remember, before we get into it, I want you to know that the Farm Where You Live event's coming up April 15th. Joel Salatin himself is going to be there. I'm excited for that. In fact, we'll be picking him up from the airport.
Yep.
Looking forward to that. And then we're probably going to hopefully record a few things with him. Always a joy to be around Joel, man. He is just, when I say a wealth of knowledge, y'all, you have no idea. I mean, the guy is extraordinary. So if you can just go there, I mean, yeah, we'll be there, but we're chopped liver compared to Joel. In fact, everybody else is. As far as I'm concerned, he's worth the price of 10 admissions because of how much wisdom. If this is your craft, or if this is what you want to do to make a living, Joel's the one to talk about. If you want to know how to rebuild your land, Joel's the one to talk to.
Or how to get started.
He's the one to talk to. Every single aspect of this, there is nobody more laser beam focused on so many aspects of this lifestyle than Joel. So we encourage you all to go there. Check it out. Farm Where You Live. We'd leave a link down below, 10% off with promo code PERMA. So be there, be square. All right.
Main topic.
Main topic. This is going to be one of them barn burners, y'all. And it's not intentionally made to be. I didn't come up with this topic because I wanted to be controversial. And frankly, I don't really care if anybody's offended at this point. I really don't. I am well past the point of caring whether or not somebody's offended, especially when I know I'm telling the truth about something. All right, so Michelle and I are coming back from the event this last week. Now, we were initially going to go over to Charleston and hang out, but we needed to get back, or at least she felt like, you know, she's missing her animals. Yeah, and so she had a bottle baby
at home, so she's the first thing smoking.
Yeah, can't get back soon enough, even though she won't admit it, but that's the real reason. So on the way back, I said, okay, since we're not going to go there, let's stop in Atlanta. For the longest time, I've been wanting to see this Stone Mountain.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, folks, its claim to fame, or at least it was to me, was that this, I think the world's largest relief on the planet is right there carved into that stone. So it's basically a giant piece of artwork. And that artwork just happens to have Jefferson Davis, Stonewall Jackson, and Robert E. Lee. And I got to be honest with you, son. They hand you a map. Everybody I'm asking, I'm like, well, where do I go to go see this? Because to my knowledge, this was the claim to fame to go there.
Yeah.
All the other stuff there, I had no idea about. I thought this was the attraction. And then I remembered on the way there, I was like, I told your mom, I said, man, I could swear that Antifa tried to have this thing tore down or and I don't know
it's
how
a mountain.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how they go about messing that up, but I was like, okay, did they do it? So because nobody in the brochure, you would think you've got a one of a kind thing on planet Earth that people would actually, you know, you would promote this.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's no mention of it in the program unless you really go looking for it. You can ask your mom. We spent forever and a day trying to find this thing. Everybody I asked had no idea what I was even talking about. And these were locals. And I'm like, what on earth is happening? So we get over to this one place, and it sounds like it's a place where you walk to the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it can't be on top because I know from the pictures I've seen, it's carved into the doggone side. So why is everybody walking up this mountain? And you can ask your mom. Never seen a spectacle like this in my life. So we get over here, and as soon as we get out, I mean, this place is teeming with every activity imaginable. As soon as I get out of the car, and parking alone was a piece of work, let me tell you. Your mom is like, I can't even believe what I'm looking at, because there's like a dead-end road. People are driving to this dead-end road that you could see from the beginning and can't figure out how to get out. And she's like, I don't even need to leave the car. And I'm like, okay, let's leave the car. We're going to go find out. I can't find this stupid thing. I am going to ask.
Yeah.
They have intentionally hid this thing, but I didn't know that at the time. We'll get to that in a minute. Let me just cut to the chase. We eventually found this thing, and it's hidden. They hid it. They hid it in a place, and we had to go hiking just to find this thing.
Well, how do you hide it? What do you mean they hid it?
I don't know how. Sure, I think at one point in time.
It's a relief in the mountain.
Yeah, it's in the mountain, but there ain't no driving up to it. So they put like a theme park in front of it. And unless you know it's back there, I don't even know how you find it. Ask your mom, we're up here crossing railroad tracks. I put this thing in the GPS. I'm like, she's starting to get irritated because I'm like, I am not leaving until I find this thing. I know they didn't tear it off the mountain. So sure enough, I end up finding this thing. Yeah.
Did you guys get pictures?
Yeah, I got a couple of pictures.
Okay.
Yeah, there was no way I wasn't going to take a picture of that. Plus, Robert E. Lee's one of my favorite people of all time. And if you think he was a bad guy, you don't know your history, y'all. Or you're reading. You need to learn some new history. I'll say that. But that's another program altogether. So maybe I can get Thomas DiLorenzo in here and talk about this. But I digress. Y'all, before we found that, we're noticing that everybody's walking up this rock, this giant rock of granite. I mean, like something straight out of Middle Earth. And we see these signs that say, look, turn off your radios. Look, keep it quiet. It's nature. You know, you're out hiking up this mountain. Man, we get out of there. boom, 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 boom. Okay, so it's coming from the cars at first. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll get on the trail, go find somebody that knows what this place is all about. And you see another sign that says, don't have any radios. And every other person coming down this mountain has a little...
Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah, like a Bluetooth speaker. And they're playing this boom, 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 boom all the way. And I'm like, you're in nature for crying out loud. They all these signs are telling you, turn off your stupid noise. Show a little bit of respect. You can't wear headphones if you just got to listen to something. I mean, if you don't want to hear
nature.
What
kind of music was it, Dad?
It was some of this hip-hop jungle nonsense that I can't stand. And, you know, open profanity. There's kids over here, and you got MF this, MF that. I was appalled. Son, I don't even have the words of how disgusted I was where I'm going up this mountain, and every other person coming down out of this mountain. And let me be frank about it. It's a black person. Believe it or not, a majority were women. Boom, boom, boom. You can't even hear the birds from all this nonsense going on there. And you're looking at some of the Asian people. There were Indian people. There were white people. There were, I mean, every sort of ethnicity you can imagine. All of those people are behaving. But nearly every black person I see going up or down on that mountain has some Bluetooth thing, yelling, carrying on, and misbehaving. I don't know what has happened with decorum in this world. And I'll be honest with y'all, I'm going to play something right now that I swear this is exactly what I thought of. I think this came out in 2006. There was an adult television show called The Boondocks.
An adult cartoon.
Adult cartoon, yeah. And there was this kid, and they would have these fantasies sometimes. Well, supposedly in this episode, Martin Luther King didn't actually die. He was in a coma. And so he wasn't actually assassinated in this episode. They pretended in this episode that he was in a coma from that time. What was it, 1968 or 67? I can't remember. And then woke up in 2006. And this is how it goes.
Is this it? This is what I got all those ass whippings for. I had a dream once. It was a dream that little black boys and little black girls would drink from the river of prosperity, freed from the thirst of oppression. But lo and behold, some four decades later, what have I found but a bunch of trifling, shiftless, good-for-nothing niggas. And I know some of you don't want to hear me say that word. It's the ugliest word in the English language. But that's what I see now. Niggas. And you don't want to be a nigger. Because niggas are living contradictions. Niggas are full of unfulfilled ambitions. Niggas wax and wane. Niggas love...
Well, it goes on for a while longer. And, I mean, obviously, there was a part of it that was meant to be a little bit of comedy. But the best comedy out there is the one that weaves a tapestry of truth along with it. And I swear this is exactly what I thought in that scene. You can go find it on YouTube, I'm sure. In that scene, he wakes up and then he's trying to give a speech. And then you hear all these idiots jumping around this room, and he's trying to get their attention, and then that's how he begins the whole thing. Look, I know there's a little bit of comic relief in there, I'm sure, and some of you almost certainly are thinking, okay, I'm going to turn this guy off. I'm never going to listen, but when have I ever, ever backed away from controversy, especially when I know it to be true? And I'm thinking, had a friend of mine say, well, I don't understand black culture. This ain't black culture. This is a lack of culture. This is not what black culture was ever meant to be. This is a freaking embarrassment. When nearly every single person going up and down that mountain is acting like a complete flipping idiot. I was so embarrassed. So embarrassed. I'm looking at this Indian family from India,
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm looking at them. And they are as perplexed as anybody I'd ever seen. You could hear them speaking their language among each other, and you could tell as they're watching these people pass by and with their radios, like, they didn't even know how to comprehend what it was they were seeing. That's how flipping bizarre this was. So I'm thinking, is decorum gone in this world? And I'm not just picking on, well, I guess right now I am just picking on black people.
Yeah, imagine if you're like a visitor from, let's pick like Korea, like South Korea. Let's say you're visiting here from South Korea, and where you got like three black people and they're all on the military base in South Korea.
Yeah.
And then you come here and you see this is how black people are represented in America. You're going to be thinking, like, this is a lower form of intelligence.
You're starting to think that good behavior is the exception. Now, I know in a lot of different ways it was engineered this way, starting with LBJ, that polecat, and, you know, the Great Society and all those things. I know that a lot of this stuff was engineered.
Well, what I'm saying is I don't think that they're assuming it's lack of, like, etiquette. I think they're assuming it's a lack of intelligence. You mean that's what I would assume.
The other people.
Yeah. Like South Koreans, if they came and visited, I would be thinking, wow, this is a dumber form of human.
That's exactly what they would think. And would they be wrong in thinking it? Remember, we talked about stereotypes a while ago. If this was all you see, because the thing that pisses me off is that I know a lot of highly intelligent black people. A lot of them, I mean, will blow your mind with their intelligence. But like you said, if you imagine you came from a faraway country, okay, those Russians, oh, you weren't there. I went up asking questions to these Russians, like asking for directions. And yeah, that was a mistake. Yeah, these two, I mean, this guy's looking like he wanted to fight. He was just obviously confused. Probably left the same place I did.
Yeah.
And thinking, okay, what am I getting into? He was clearly confused. Now, imagine you're this guy and you just came over here and the first thing smoking from Russia or Ukraine or wherever he was from. And this is what he saw. How many times would he have to see it before he thinks the whole place is unfit?
Yeah.
Y'all, I was sitting here. I asked your mom. I was like, man, we got to go. We have got to go. And then sure enough, I mean, I was aggravated for a good, I don't even know how long. And I'm like, I don't even know how to process what I've just seen. I mean, on one hand, I guess you could be thankful that folks are outside and getting some sunlight and stuff.
Yeah, that's still the shocking part. That's still the shocking part is that they went outside.
Yeah, because brothers ain't known for going on hikes, you know, for the most part. I mean, you know, the outdoor world ain't usually the place to be.
Did they have trash bags on their feet?
Some of them did. Yep. Some of them did, yeah. I mean, you ain't going to be walking in no mud with those clean shoes. But, yeah, and plus there were some mud puddles out there. Look, I'm saying this, y'all. I know that this is a farm. I mean, like, permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and like I said, punks today. Some of these times when I do these shows, y'all, it is cathartic to me. It is to get it off my back. That Russian guy probably looked at me like I had three eyes because maybe he left the same place.
He may have been thinking this was a joke. Like, he might be on some reality show or something like that.
I saw walking caricatures, for crying out loud. Walking caricatures. And like I said, it's not wrong because your mind is naturally built to stereotype certain things. How many times do you have to see this incredibly awful behavior? And then every other place I went to around that place in Atlanta, you saw the same exact thing.
Yeah.
But right there, I have never, ever, ever seen this in the great outdoors, ever. That's why it was so shocking to me that in light of all the signs where it just said, you know, politely saying, be respectful to the people around you and keep your music to yourself, meaning can you put in some doggone headphones?
The fact that you had the sign makers must have been thinking, who is this even for? Who has to be told this?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But it's not just there, y'all. I don't want to belabor the point any longer than I have to. But decorum is, I'm starting to think, is all but lost from the world. I mean, yeah, clearly there are pockets here and there, but for the most part, I'm scratching my head because I don't even understand. I am not that old, but I can't imagine being somebody who stormed the beaches of Normandy. living in the modern day, and there was this video Pastor Lon sent me a while back of this World War II vet. It'll bring you to tears. When you look at all the guys that died on Omaha Beach and the people that died on the, you know, the drop zone of Anzio, Salerno, Sicily, Market Gardens, you name it. And it's no different than the Martin Luther King. Is this what I took all those butt whippings for?
Yeah.
For this?
Yeah.
This is the kind of behavior. I mean, this is where we lead. Look, y'all, like I said, once again, I don't mean to belabor the point. I'm just sick of it. I almost never want to leave my home ever. I can't do that. I can't not go somewhere. But, man, it's getting to the point where at least this is my fortress of solitude, man.
Hey, okay, to lighten the mood a little bit, here's a would you rather. Would you rather live with them hood rats down in Atlanta or the liberals up in Asheville? Which one?
Oh, my goodness, man. I had to make a choice. Honestly, at the end of the day, I'm going to go with the liberals in Asheville.
Man.
Any day of the week.
Anybody coming to see, you'll see that that's a, or coming to the festival, you'll see that that's a pretty big statement.
Well, and then plus, honestly, these people largely don't pose a threat to you.
Well, no, not largely, at all. I mean, it's not a joke when mom say, like we say, mom can beat up 90% of the men in right. Asheville.
Yeah, you got a high liberal component here, but you got great food in a lot of places, and you also have a lot of farm-to-table places. These people may be crazy, but they make good biscuits, you know? But at the end of the day, they don't pose any threat because of the hip hop culture and a lot of the garbage that's going on right there, you know, that's going on right now. A lot of these people, I've said before years ago that hip hop to white people is a fad. To black people, it's a fate. There is a difference. Yeah. So a lot of these guys going up and down there are armed, maybe legally, maybe illegally. Either way, they're going to hold their gun sideways. Well, you'll get dusted before you ever get a shot off. So, but the point that I'm getting at, yes, yeah, boy, you talk about lightening the mood for real. Yeah. Honestly, any day of the week, I would take these idiot, wokers any day of the week because at the end of the day, they don't pose any threat.
Okay, here's another one to lighten the mood. Who's going to win in a fight, the liberals or the hood rats?
Well, see, okay, technically there won't be a fight because the idiot liberal is going to turn over their stuff because they feel like they're overprivileged already. So the hood rat won't even get a shot off, won't need to.
But it's a Trojan horse because they've done leached all their mRNA stuff onto their goods and whatnot.
See, So that was a very good tactic to get your old man to lighten up the node. Look, y'all, I mean, I know we probably lost a lot of people over that, but hey, got it off my back. He gon' save us. Left and right squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No bueno. I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer. I need another booster before I hit the beach. BLM. Welcome back, if you're still there, to the Permaculture Pimpcast. I don't know. I mean, maybe we lost a lot of people over that. I mean, let me know if you're disappointed. And I don't really care. I mean, if you want to, I mean, maybe I could set it better. Some of the things I say on here are cathartic to me. For those that don't know, or maybe you're not watching, I mean, I am a, quote, person of color, if you want to say that. I really don't. I'm telling the truth. And I think we need a little bit more of yays being yays and nays being nays. And I'm not playing this middle ground stuff. If you are an idiot, now I've come down for anybody who says, oh, well, that was really harsh. Well, where was all the criticism when I came down on these wokey wookies? With all the woke people, all the woke white people. Didn't have anything to say about that. But so if you have anything to say about this one, because I've come down way more times on the woke idiot white people than I ever have on the black people. So I'm an equal opportunity racist. And yes, racist means exactly what you think it does. Rational, and constitutionally inspired sensible thinker. What you got, son?
I got something from the Fountain app. This is from Christian Farmer. Hashtag tip a pimp for scaled hogs. And I got another one from the Fountain app. That's from Danny OTK154. Keep on sat stacking. You won't regret it. Hashtag catch jack. Hashtag tip a pimp. Hashtag comfrey king. Hashtag 75 hard.
Bam.
Which you guys are about to start. I wouldn't start tomorrow, but maybe like Wednesday.
Well, Kendra's coming back tomorrow. Well, we can't even start Wednesday. We're going to have some guests here Wednesday. Yeah. So that's probably not a good day to do it. Real good friends. And we had them on the schedule for quite a while. So we're all looking forward to seeing them.
They have a YouTube channel.
Yes.
Yeah. Strand Farm.
Strand Farm.
Yep.
Yep. Looking forward to them. They're going to be coming Wednesday, and I'm looking forward to it. So I'm having some serious technical glitches over here, son. You got anything else on your end?
Yeah, I got some comments from the – actually, I have a pretty big comment from – this is on the YouTube channel, and this is from formerly Rinjani Ranch. He's now called Humble Servant on YouTube. Had two large trees fall in the last two storms. I'm considering using the logs to make small storm/root cellar. If I don't have enough for that, I'm thinking of using the logs to make a dam/swale. My property is shaped like half a soup bowl with drainage to an intermittent stream. What if I put the logs and branches into a pile and let it trap off sediment? It may leak, but in time it should hold back the water and soil that scours the gully. Any thoughts? I don't have any earth moving equipment except a shovel. Formerly Rinjani Ranch, Scott.
Son, go ahead and run with it.
I wouldn't use any of the logs or anything like that to stop. Well, I know where you are. I don't know how steep your property is, though. I wouldn't use any of the logs to stop any of the water. You can use it to maybe direct some of the water, but for it to retain any of the water, it's eventually going to decompose and rot and eventually let the water through. Also, I don't know what kind of trees they are. So that might change. I'm not sure what, depending on the type of tree, it might work, but it still might not be a good idea. I would maybe, if you have a chainsaw, I would think of maybe trying to mill the wood. You can use an Alaskan chainsaw and use that to mill the wood and build something with that, like your root cellar.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of work.
The Alaskan mill? There is this one guy. Okay, so it's the fastest way to mill lumber with a chainsaw. Strand Farm actually did a video on it and a review on it. So if you check them out, that might help. But the original guy was this Russian dude, and it was like Advoco Makes or Adovco Makes, something like that. And he shows you, he has like a long video showing you exactly how to, like this guy, he went out into the Russian wilderness and built a log cabin with a chainsaw and stuff like that. So he shows you the fastest way to mill lumber with the chainsaw. And it's actually just using the tip and a string line.
There you go. All right, y'all, we got one from Mom X. I was listening to your podcast when somebody was asking how the onions came out, and she said she had the same problem 3 to 4 years ago. And it turns out it was night crawlers doing it. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a possible solution there.
Night crawlers said
Worms were pushing up these onions.
Huh.
Yeah, caught the culprit, said it was night crawlers. Said it loved the podcast and would also... would like to know if the bone sauce has a strong odor. I have a rabbit problem, but since the garden is in my backyard, not sure if the family would approve. It doesn't have an awful smell, and actually after about a week, you probably won't detect anything. In fact, the animals certainly will definitely detect it, but you won't.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind right there. So thank you so much for reaching out, Mom X. Okay, so check this out. We got one from Lisa. Says they got some bone sauce from us last year. Got a half a pint-sized jar left. It's dried out and looks kind of grainy. More like a beef paste instead. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. So if you've had your bone sauce for a while, if it's cold, it's going to get more solid. If you had it at room temperature and it feels like it dried out, just add a little beef tallow to it. Don't add pork. It's got to be beef tallow. And a few tablespoons, add some in there, enough to where you can get it back on the paintbrush and then go ahead and use it. So that's what you want to do there.
I got one from Chris Stubbs on the YouTube channel. Is there any better way to settle down on a God bless Sunday? Nah, let's go Billy and William. What you got for us? And it was a comment on our latest YouTube video.
Oh, cool. Thanks so much for checking us out on YouTube, y'all.
And I got another one if you want me to go.
Yeah,
go ahead. Unless you got one. This is from Laz Sis. I think Uncle Joe's dementia still allows for him the ability to be folksy, so he talks about ice cream and tries to be charming with the puke emoji. It's just so obviously fake now that the only people who will fall for it are those who have drunk gallons of the Kool-Aid.
You know, I mean, you could have something there.
It was something in my gut that said that mint chocolate chip is not ice cream.
Well, remember that Ashley Biden thing was, in fact, confirmed. I mean, that was really her diary where she talked about taking a shower. Oh, man, I don't even want to talk about that nasty stuff. But, I mean, that dude's been a freakazoid for a long time. And then look at that thing when Jeff Sessions was still in Congress and where Biden tried to touch his grandkids, man, and he smacked his hands away. I mean, I think everybody knows this dude is some kind of freakazoid. All right, this one from Steven. Honorable pimps, please excuse my ignorance, but how do I start this company? I bought it from you in the fall and it's been in my fridge ever since then. Do I just bury it all together or separate it in one piece? Okay, yeah, you want to separate that stuff out. I don't know if you can put it all together if you don't mind a big patch of comfrey, but you basically want to put it where you want to put it. What?
It sounds like he's like, I like these guys. I like this video. I'm going to go ahead and buy some of this comfrey.
I'm going to buy this comfrey. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Hey, thank you, Steven, for your support.
Thank you. That's awesome. But if you plant it horizontally, 2 inches deep, and then keep it watered until it pops up, and then should be good to go. If you, depending on where you live, and if you plant it soon, it might rain often enough where you don't have to water it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm stumbling over my words today.
Yeah, I don't know what's up, man. So, yeah, I mean, he's got it. I mean, you can start this stuff in trays. You can do any number of things. It's pretty doggone forgiving. You want to try not to use potting soil, especially that Miracle-Gro stuff. It does not like it. Okay, so this one here is from Melanie. I apologize because I know you're busy, but would you be able to recommend a safe area to choose a hotel when we're coming to the Farm Where You Live festival?
It's all safe. You can beat them all up.
Yeah, trust me, Melanie. You could stomp a lot of these marchies with your, you know, you could elevate that pimp hand and unleash. But honestly, nobody, far as cities go, I mean, this is a pretty safe place. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you're going
to
have,
I mean, you don't want to do anything foolish, but I mean, there's really not a bad place to stay around here.
Like, you're going to see a couple homeless people, no matter what hotel, unless you're in like the Biltmore Village area, you're going to see a homeless person somewhere on the streets, no matter where you stay, really. Or if you might, I mean, don't forget about like some of the Airbnbs. You can get some really good views, with some of these Airbnbs that you wanted. Or that you could look at. Keep in mind, like, whenever they say four-wheel drive, they are not joking. It's four-wheel drive.
Yeah, and it could be in a whack place. I mean, yeah, I would be really, really careful about some of the places that, you know, that are off the beaten path here, because some of them, to this day, I don't even know how they work it out, where there'll be multiple houses up a one-way road, and if anybody's coming down it, I don't know how you negotiate how you're going to get past one another. I never figured that
don't
one out.
Don't stay at Mountaineer Inn. It's off Tunnel Road in Asheville. Yeah. Don't stay at Mountaineer Inn. Don't stay on Tunnel Road. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just going to be a nightmare to get in and out.
No. I mean, decent places up and down there, up over by that Outback. I mean, there's
That's like a methadone clinic highway.
Well, yeah. I mean, but some of those places, because Asheville is kind of a tourist destination, you know, there's definitely, you're going to have some weirdos out there, but you're not going to have hood rats trying to beat you over your head for your wallet. You know?
And also keep in mind, you might want to, if you're looking to stay close to the event, look for hotels near the airport. That's going to be like Tunnel Road is on the complete opposite side of Asheville.
Yeah, the ones near the airport are always going to be the best. Yeah. Hey, Billy, my plants have been growing well. Let me jump down to it. Are there veggies you would not plant near comfrey? Now, keep in mind, with comfrey, it's going to have a spread on it, depending on where you have it and the compaction of your soil. So it could be a 3 feet tall, 3 feet wide, and it could shade that stuff out. But the good thing about it is you could also coppice that stuff when the time is right, and use it as something of a garden mulch.
I wouldn't plant it near eggplant, but that's just because we don't we wouldn't plant eggplant. It's a pretty useless vegetable. Doesn't provide much in nutrition.
Michelle's asking, she's in zone 8B in Florida. Do you think comfrey would do well there?
Yep. It works all the way up to zone 9, I believe.
Yep. But even down there in Florida with some of the humidity, we've done it in 8B. It will stress in the middle of the day until it's very well established. So you might want to consider taking some of it and at least kind of putting it in some dappled sunshine or, you know, maybe a place that's not full sun if you can manage it.
Yeah. I mean, in 8B, during the middle of the day in the summer, it's going to look rough during the middle of the day. But then it bounces back each morning and in the evening. So
just to follow up, this here is from Ryan. Just to follow up on the chickens and fire extinguishers bit. Around here, there's an old saying, when you eat something hot, you better go poop in a creek to keep from catching the woods on fire. Well done. Well done to William on his solo video. The only thing I would suggest is that he needs to give his opinions on politicians and some purple head marchies. I like you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah. I like you a lot.
Better go poop in a creek.
Well, this one here, man. Hey, we need to give our prayers out to Moss here. He says, you know how to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. Our entire property went up in smoke Friday night in that Guthrie wildfire. All of our neighbors lost their homes, save one. We're starting over. We went to the feed store and bought 300 pounds of rye to try to cover the ground as quickly as possible to save whatever topsoil we have left. We're lucky we lost no family members, just all of our worldly goods. I think God's going to show us what he can do with nothing. Good night, man.
Wow.
And then, you know, in light of all that, still had the wherewithal to text to write to us. I mean,
you're going to learn a ton.
Yeah.
That's, if there's a positive part in all of this, you're going to learn a ton with this.
Well, Moss, you were in my prayers earlier when I read this, and y'all, if you would just kind of extend your prayers out to, I mean, but man, with an attitude like that, you're going to be hard to stop.
Yeah. I mean
that.
Think of it this way. Yeah. If you make it through this and you bring your farm back, what is going to stop you? It burned down.
Yeah, but when you have that kind of attitude, I don't know that there's a whole lot that can stop you right there.
Yeah, if your first response is to go buy rye seed so you can save the topsoil,
yeah,
you might be a farmer.
Yeah, no, you might be a survivor, Jack. I mean, man, I like the way you roll.
Yeah.
So Dylan here, you know, he goes, well, there's quite a bit here, but he was asking at the end of the day if we did anything in terms of consulting. And we really don't right now. Look, y'all, if you want the best out there, go to Eric Sider, e.sider@, and that's spelled S-E-I-D-E-R, @gmail.com, e.sider@gmail.com.
It's all linked down in the show notes and the description.
Yeah, so if you need a consultation, you'd be shocked at how much he could do remotely. A lot of people are very, very pleased with the things he's done already. Y'all, this has been, I hope this wasn't, I'm not going to apologize for being too politically incorrect. I really don't care, especially these days. I hope that maybe to some extent it was edifying. I mean, we almost certainly lost half the audience here.
No, but I don't think so. I think we've filtered them out a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's entirely likely. But like I said, sometimes these shows are about catharsism. And, or, you know, the cathartic nature of what it matters to either, of how it matters to either me or William. And this is one of those times. I'm not going to hold my tongue anymore about these. In fact, I haven't been holding my tongue. And probably I'm going to speak out even more, especially at this time where everybody is telling us to acquiesce. Not going to do it. You know why? Because I know how to stay alert.
Stay alive.